We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
And what about that action, boss?
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
Curry will bring it across, takes the logo, goes left on Brunson, driving in, skipped it over to Wiggins. Wiggins puts it on the deck, he'll drive the glass, goes up.
Oh! My goodness! Oh, they're going to call it an offensive foul on Wiggins.
Not a team foul. Steve Kerr's going to call a timeout.
Can he challenge it?
He may challenge that.
Money time! Oh, baby. We left here Friday, Shasky. As we say good morning to all our roasters out there on YouTube and Twitch. Everybody out there getting off their graveyard shifts, getting ready for work. If you're already at work, what is up? Welcome to the Morning Roast here on a Monday morning. We left here Friday, and it was a 1-0 series. And we both were stating how Game 2 is a huge game in the series. Almost a must-win for the Golden State Warriors. Didn't want to go down to Dallas, Texas, tied at 1 apiece. And what happens Friday? Mavericks come out, they're smoking hot. Hit 15 threes in the first half, 15-27. They're up by 1.19. Warriors inch closer by the half to 14. But then midway through the third quarter, Dallas seemed to stabilize the game. They're up 15 points. Draymond gets his fifth foul. And next thing you know, the Warriors go on some 36-13 run. You know, actually, I'm going to just say this. A 22-6 run by the time Otto Porter Jr. hit a three to give the Warriors their first lead of the basketball game on the first possession of the fourth quarter. And from that point on, it has been all Warriors. And we come back here on a Monday, and we're bringing out the brooms. We're bringing out the brooms as I, Bonte Hill, at 6:07 a.m. in the morning, admit I must have massively overrated that Dallas Mavericks, or I underestimated the championship DNA in these Golden State Warriors.
As we're doing assessments, let's just both of us appreciate the moment. I mean, it's like, this is incredible. I mean, it really is. I want to start with Andrew Wiggins. You started with that dunk, and thank you, Joe Spadoni, for that. That's one of the great moments in the history of his career. I mean, right there, that is one of those moments that validates everything. The potential, all the scrutiny, the 10 years of scrutiny, whatever it is, however many years he's been in the NBA where he's been scrutinized left and right. And for him to have this playoff run, it feels like it validates everything about all of his potential, him not living up to it. He's a dog. He doesn't care. He can't play both ways. Everything is going away, and this guy's having his moment. And that dunk, I mean, that dunk, Bonte, it's one of the great moments in Warrior history already.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Warrior playoff history, that is.
Absolutely.
It's up there with Baron Davis.
Absolutely.
Because not only did he posterize one of the Dallas Mavericks, he posterized one of the poster childs of the NBA in Luka Doncic.
He's taking his soul on the defensive side with his pressure. He's doing him and Kevon Looney going straight up. Okay, I don't think people understand how difficult it is to guard Luka. You cannot leave your feet at any time. Nope. And the way the two of them have gone vertical in the second half of both games, just outstanding defense.
Dude, I'm telling you. He took his soul on that play.
Oh,
and
yes,
the Mavericks tapped out after that.
They did.
They tapped out later on. We forgot about Andrew Wiggins' tip dunk. The tip dunk that he had, which was also nasty.
The very next play.
The very next possession.
On offense.
Look, can we say something about the dunk? Because the dunk was just nasty.
Dude,
it's one of the nastiest. And I'm not just being a homer here.
No, he took off in the free throw line.
He took off and he cocked it all the way back.
So sick.
All the way back and just yammed it, right?
Everybody did the same thing. Oh! Like you're on your couch. You see him cocking it and you're like, oh!
You just start losing your mind. And then next thing you know, crew chief Mark Davis.
Oh, dude, this guy.
Decides to emphatically call an offensive foul. Can you hit me with the Kevin Harlan, Spadoni, if you got a chance? Because Kevin Harlan, Tim Roy even said it. I want to hear the Kevin Harlan version of this stuff. Play it, Spadoni.
Brunson defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins. Goes by Bullock.
Oh!
Drops the sledgehammer!
Oh,
they called it an offensive foul! Wow! Oh my goodness! I've got to see this again. I do not understand that. They're going to take a look at this. They are going to take a look at this. Oh, that's a poster. I'm sorry.
Steve, I think Kerr is going to challenge it.
That is a poster. That should be an end one, if anything.
All right, so Reggie Miller, Kevin Harlan, Stan Van Gundy on a call for TNT. You heard Tim Roy out there in Dallas right here on 95.7 The Game to open the show.
Oh, that's a poster.
As Andrew Wiggins is averaging over 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 3.5 assists during these Western Conference Finals. Mark Davis, now we always talk about referees, Kane Fitzgerald, which, you know, he put on a clown show Friday night, especially in that second quarter.
They completely lost control of that game.
It's unbelievable. You see it happening in real time, and it's just like,
and I got something for Bertans, too. Yeah, okay. Just remind me, bookmark Bertans.
All right, Bertans, we'll get to Bertans.
Clown, that goon.
So, Kane Fitzgerald, you got Scott Foster's, you got Tony Brothers. Mark Davis is the worst of the worst. All right? There's no good referees.
That's a
like
sentence.
Everybody says, oh, Mark Davis has been around forever. That doesn't mean anything. It just means nobody wants that job. Mark Davis is incompetent, and he nearly ruined the moment. You know when you get a poster and you got to play a couple possessions, you get the crowd reactions, yes. You get people playing with confidence. Mark Davis to ruin that moment and stop playing, stop the flow of the game, and have to make us sit there and watch it over, which was fine. We love watching the highlight. The poster was just nasty. But the incompetence of Mark Davis to sit there and look at the play and call an offensive foul. And Luka flopping on the play like he got hit in the face. Mark Davis, have a sense of the moment, dude.
So you've ruined the entire spontaneity that is organic in that moment for people to react and celebrate. And it robbed everyone of that. Here's the part that frustrates me. When you watch the Baron Davis dunk back in the day, the John Starks dunk, the Michael Jordan baseline dunk on Patrick Ewing, pick any dunk you want, LeBron James. How many LeBron James dunks have looked like that?
Right.
Lots. Like, you give him credit. Yep. What happens after that is the reaction from the crowd, from other teammates. Sean Kemp pointing at Alton Lister. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, allow the moment to breathe. And instead, you're robbed of that moment. When Baron Davis hit that dunk on Kirilenko, I was watching with a house full of 15 guys, and the whole entire place did, for like a minute. And the whole stadium did the same thing. Baron was allowed to react. Mark Davis ruined it. And you know who else? I'm glad you brought up Luka. Luka, the hooking, the flopping, the leaning, the lunging. Luka, every single time, is trying to sell something. He's an outstanding player. But Bonte, it's fatiguing the way he tries to work the officials. Every possession, both ends, all game, all series, all year. I'm fatigued by it.
Dude, Mark Davis emphatically throwing the charge to make a name for himself.
It's ridiculous.
Mark Davis, before the game, talking to Theo Pinson about changing his shirt on the sideline, and Theo didn't do it. Just didn't do it. Whatever. They got bad bench decorum. They want to stand up, fine. They got to find $100,000. Stand up all you want to, as long as you're standing up when you're down 10 like you were in the fourth quarter. Mark Davis ruined that moment because it went from, wait, what? Wait, you call it offensive foul?
I know.
Swear to God.
It was horrible.
The NBA next year. You want to find players for getting technicals and talking about the referees. Referees should be fined for bad calls and egregious calls. That was an egregious call. Mark Davis just had to pay a $5,000 to $10,000 fine. Or at least it's finally time to get the referees to meet the media to face questions. If you want to be a star and go to replay, start talking to players and think it's all good, then you know what? Go up to the podium after the game.
Yeah.
Answer some questions or pay a fine for an egregious call like that, because, look, the moment's going to live forever. But we're always in the back of our mind going to say, can you believe the referee called an offensive foul on that play?
Instead of watching the play and reacting and smiling and enjoying it and seeing the rebound, we're looking into a monitor to see if Luka was selling the foul appropriately and if his elbow grazed him. But you know what, B? This morning should not be about referees.
It should not be. I just wanted to get that
I know.
Off.
I don't want to see it because there was another sequence with Draymond Green in the backcourt. We can get to all of that. It was absolutely absurd. I'm just so blown away at the resilience of this core, the championship medal of this team. Kevon Looney has had, in this playoffs, he has had a career-defining run for a guy who I didn't even know if he was ever going to be a contributor to the Warriors.
Nobody did.
Go back and remember what he was when he got drafted. We had so much promise. We didn't see him at all that rookie year. For him to play the way that he's played, they are dominating the offensive glass. And it's him and it's Andrew Wiggins. And their athleticism, I can't believe it. Kevon Looney's boxing out and his athleticism and his length is destroying the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, he's having the double-double he had on Friday night.
He's best player
the third quarter. The Warriors outscored the Mavericks 25-13, and Looney has 11 of those points.
He was amazing.
He's going to the rim. He's using a pump fake great, and he's finishing at the rim. He's finishing at the rim with nice layups. He's playing solid defense, boxing out, and he just knows where to be offensively and defensively. You look at Kevon Looney, and this is a read-and-react offense, right? Steph Curry's running around relocating. Klay Thompson's running around relocated off of screens. Looney knows where to be on the floor at all times,
I'm with
offensively and defensively. His positioning is what helps him. He's not the most athletic guy, right? But how does he beat you? Fundamentals and knowing where to be on the floor, setting solid screens, boxing out, and he's dominating the boards. Dwight Powell, I thought, would have a bigger impact in this series. He's unplayable for the Dallas Mavericks. Jason Kidd, and I thought about this before game three. If you're only going to play Dwight Powell 3 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, why not just start Kleber and start small? You know what I'm saying? Because Dwight Powell's giving them nothing, and he's getting erased. So Kevon Looney is making himself some money. Wiggins with his third postseason double-double all this season. Ties a career high in rebounds. Has a career high in points, 27 points
amazing,
last night.
Amazing.
And then, like, we're talking Wiggins and Looney. And, oh, by the way, Steph Curry drops 31-11, and he's the best player on the floor once again.
Well, and then as you're watching Luka just not fall apart, but he's exhausted. I'm marveled at how we're at the end of the year and Steph Curry is still got all the energy in the world to run off ball, to play with the ball, to play amazing defense in the fourth quarter again. Curry's conditioning, that you want to talk about Jerry Rice's conditioning. We've talked so much about how Jerry Rice is the most well-conditioned athlete ever. Jerry, move aside. I think it's Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry is the most incredibly conditioned athlete I have ever seen in my entire life. B, am I wrong?
He is up there with the best of them. He's up there with the best of them.
He never gets tired.
And I wonder how much of a blessing it was for him. Hey, you never want guys to get hurt, but he missed the last 12 regular season games.
Blessing in disguise.
A blessing in disguise, maybe, for this team. And you think about it. He's got the 12 games off, the last 12 games of the regular season. Then the Warriors have 6 days off before that game against Denver. They take care of Denver, have a couple days rest for the Memphis Grizzlies. And now they're on the precipice of another NBA Finals, and they're a game away from going, and they may get some more rest.
Well, June 2nd is the target date for the Finals, game one.
That's when game one is.
There's no other way around it. So it's going to be June 2nd. I mean, man, if they could finish this thing out Tuesday, you'd get a lot of rest
for this team because now you have Otto Porter Jr. dealing with something. You have him dealing with an injury. So, look, they need to get healthy. But the fact that Otto Porter Jr. does get hurt late, early second quarter with 9 minutes and 41 seconds left when he got bounced from the game due to that left foot soreness, the left foot injury that he suffered yesterday. I mean, the fact that they played Moody, they played a little JTA. I thought they would dust off Kuminga. I wanted to see some Kuminga. I don't know what's going on with that. But Steph Curry's still stabilizing the game in the first half. They're up 48-47 at the break. He's got 16 points. He was trying to hit home runs last night. Let's be real. Curry was shooting from deep. He was trying to knock the Mavericks out in the first quarter.
Well, they were down, whatever it was, double digits when he came back into the game in the second quarter. I loved the way he's been playing this entire series. If the three's not there, he's taking it to the hole hard, finishing around the rim. This team has had a layup line. And then Klay Thompson, ice cold, essentially, the way I looked at it, just off all game, hits the huge threes down the stretch.
Back-to-back threes in the fourth quarter, got hot
just
there.
Huge.
And his defense. How about his defense on Luka Doncic?
And Brunson.
Klay Thompson looks like he's getting closer and closer defensively to becoming that two-way player. Verticality.
Yes.
Warriors jumping up without fouling, keeping their hands straight up there. And look, it wasn't a great game by Jordan Poole. It wasn't a great game by Draymond Green. And they still go down to Dallas and roll. and roll.
The one play that I give Draymond and Steph credit, I mean, they're going to come flying out at you at the three-point line. We're going to go backdoor, and we're going to throw it right near the rim. You saw JP do it on Friday night. You see Steph Curry do it last night. So, I just love the way they're attacking
how about
the rim.
The smaller, less physical Golden State Warriors, who a lot of people said needed a big all season long.
I mean, they look more physical in this matchup. Wiggins and Looney specifically have dominated on the glass.
Dude, 5 out of 6 games against the Grizzlies, the Warriors out-rebounded the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. How about points in the paint in this series?
What is it?
They're plus 52 when it comes to points in the paint. All right, game two, 60-32.
Plus 52.
44-32 in game number one. 46-34 last night. Friday night in game number two, 60-32. So points in the paint, they're plus 52. And this is what I didn't see happening. I didn't anticipate the Dallas Mavericks turning into the Houston Rockets light. A diet Houston Rockets, I should call them. You know, the Walmart version of the Houston Rockets. Because Brunson and Dinwiddie and even Luka, they will go to the mid-range. They'll shoot elbow jumpers. They'll shoot elbow fadeaways. They'll get to the cup. They've turned to the Houston Rockets. Look at Bullock yesterday, 0-for-7 from 3. Dorian Finney-Smith struggling from 3. Maxi Kleber is 2-for-14 from the three-point line in the series. And in that second half, Kleber wanted nothing to do with the three-point shot.
Yeah, he was avoiding shots like crazy. So heading into this series, he was shooting 49.5% from 3 in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
But here's my pushback on these things. Maxi Kleber. Say that name out loud to NBA fans.
I know.
Are you really worried about Maxi Kleber hitting shots?
It's not that you're
in
worried
the Western
about them.
Conference Finals.
It's not that you're worried, not worried about them.
The sample size of what he did in the playoffs is just too small.
But they had a good regular season in. Again, from January 5th, they were 33-12.
We're talking about a niche role player.
I know that. I know that.
That'd be like me coming in here and be like, hey, you know what? Damian Lee was shooting 48%. The Warriors championship hopes don't rest on that. Look, Brunson's been really good as a number two, but you're not going anywhere. As your number two.
You're not going
you're
nowhere
just not.
As your number two. You're not.
And I'm not
but
mad.
The fact that they have reverted.
Oh, well, I agree there.
To just three-point shots. There. Think about last night. 45 of their 75 shots came from the three-point line. If you're going to play like the Houston Rockets did in 2017, 2018.
You got
to hit. Then you really have no shot against the Warriors. Because you know what you become? Mm-hmm. You become predictable. The Warriors now know. Defensively, Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Poole, Draymond, Looney, they know that, if I make Maxi Kleber, if I make Reggie Bullock, if I make Dorian Finney-Smith, if I make Davis Bertans put the ball on the floor, they're no good.
Well,
they're basically a bunch of Duncan Robinsons out there where you can't
correct.
Do anything off the dribble and you're not finishing at the rim. Dorian Finney-Smith smoked the layup at the rim. I was like, oh, my God. These guys really, all they could do is shoot wide open threes.
Well, Bertans was like the ninth man for the San Antonio Spurs a few years ago. He's your enforcer? Like, he's your goon?
Well,
I mean, that's a problem. Like, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Here's the other thing. The Warriors have won in a variety of ways. Game one, you know, just knock them out, you know, whatever.
Third quarter run.
Right? Game two, down huge.
Well, that's the series.
And that's the game where they shot out of their minds in the first half. And then that third quarter, the defense in that third quarter flipped the script straight up. Just absolutely clamped down, and they played amazing, and the crowd helped will them back into that. And then in game three, here's the recipe, B. I was like, man, we have not seen Jordan Poole and Steph Curry in foul trouble together at the same time. That was the game. They were both in foul trouble. Both had 3 fouls. Draymond had 3 fouls. If there was ever a game that they're going to lose, it's a game like yesterday.
Can I play this for you real quick from our buddy?
Who?
Nick Wrong.
Okay, everyone knows I'm going to say the Mavs here because, you know, I had the foresight, the wisdom, the brilliance to pick the Mavs 2 months ago. So why would I change now? The question is how many games? The Warriors, to have any shot in this series, are going to need to be able to come back from a 3-1 deficit because the Mavs are winning tonight. They're winning both of the two in Dallas. It's going to be 3-1 going back to San Francisco and it's not going back to Dallas after that, except for the NBA Finals. Mavs in 5.
Oh my God.
And here's why.
And it's laughable. And we picked the Warriors in 6, and that seems laughable. That seems laughable. A lot of people thought, and I respect a lot of people out there, even Mully, picked the Warriors in 7. I anticipated this being a tough series because dribble drive penetration killed the Warriors all season long.
Yeah.
Defensively, how they snuffed out Luka and kept the Mavericks from out of the paint, their ball handlers, that is,
It's one of the most impressive defensive jobs they've done in its entire dynastic run that they've been on over the last 8 years.
Can we do something here? Like, can we talk about data on the other side? Yeah. Because I feel like this is a perfect example of why data from the regular season does not correlate to the playoffs. There's a thing called pressure. No. There's a thing called moments. And, like, all the crap that happens during a regular season isn't correlated to what's going to happen in the playoffs. There's no context. Guys are missing back-to-backs. They're not playing together.
No doubt.
There's something about this team, the Warriors. Regular season is
It means nothing.
I'm done critiquing the regular season.
Well, that's why
I'm guilty of this.
But it's not just that data. It's the analytic geeks who's told everybody that mid-range jumpers, that threes are better than twos, and you avoid mid-range jumpers. What have the Warriors
I'm all
done?
In on that.
The Mavericks have held down the Warriors on three-point attempts, and it does not matter.
Take that for data.
Game 1 and 2, the Warriors shoot 56%. You know, that's the first time in Warriors history that they shot 56% in back-to-back games.
Wow. After all the runs that they've had, that's the first time they've ever done that?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We love this team.
We got more data.
I love this team so much.
888-957-9570. And I love Dub Nation.
I love this
Dub
team.
Dub Nation is ready to rock and roll. Where you at, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. Let's recap game 2 and 3. We're not going to start popping champagne yet because the Warriors are still one game away from advancing to the NBA Finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. And we'll talk all about it all day long here on 95.7 The Game. And that's what's coming up here. Brought to you by Northern California Toyota Dealer.
Oh, that's a poster.
Brunson comes middle, throws outside. Dinwiddie from way downtown spins off the rim. Poole with it. Ball game over. The Warriors have taken a commanding 3-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Final score, Warriors 109 and Dallas 100.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy on the call. What's up, Steph? We'll see you back at Chase Center either Thursday for game 5 or for game 1 of the NBA Finals on June 2nd. That's right, folks. You're Golden State Warriors.
I can't believe it.
A lot of people said the championship window was closed. A lot of folks said they wouldn't get back to this point. A lot of folks said they wouldn't finish top 4 in the Western Conference this season. A lot of folks said, yeah, Western Conference Finals, they make the second round against Memphis. That's a good season. That's a good season.
I was one of those people.
No, but you know what? You're a fan. You always believe. You have faith, you know?
Well,
it happens. The regular season, the regular season really messes with a lot of people's minds.
Well, and it's a war of attrition in terms of how long the season is. And, you know, you just look it over at the other side. Like, everyone's hurt for the Dallas Mavericks. And I look at the Warriors, and right now, it's Iggy and Otto Porter Jr., and that's it. They've been very lucky.
Very lucky. Now, you got to be lucky. You got to be healthy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If the Warriors were healthy in 2019, they would have celebrated their third straight championship.
Mm-hmm.
They would have went back to back to back, right? Like Shaq and Kobe, like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, and Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant, and those Chicago Bulls teams. Injuries. It happens. The Warriors have avoided. Gary Payton II has not played since game number 2.
You know what? I omitted that. Wow, I totally forgot about
him. Otto Porter Jr. has been dealing with foot injuries on his left and right foot, or his left foot now, right foot last series. Didn't play in game 6 against Memphis. We all got shook up.
Yeah.
Iguodala hasn't been around. James Wiseman didn't play his second this season. We all wondered, man, are they big enough? Do they have a big? How are they going to play? Well, you know what? Steve Kerr's done a masterful job. Kevon Looney has stepped up to the plate. Andrew Wiggins. I don't even want to hear Harrison Barnes 2.0. Andrew Wiggins is so much better than Harrison Barnes and such a better fit in this offense than Harrison Barnes was. And I don't want to rip on HB. He's a champion. He is. But give me Andrew Wiggins all day long, 7 days a week, and twice on Sunday.
Well, the way Chris Bosh took like a back seat to LeBron and Dwayne Wade, when we all knew how great he could be as a scorer and just how great of a player he was, I feel like what Andrew Wiggins is doing is more impactful than even what Chris Bosh. And I love Chris Bosh. I'm not diluting Chris Bosh. What I'm saying is that Wiggins is still giving you some of the scoring and all of the defense, and all of the rebounding, which I didn't know he could do. The way he's attacking and he is flying at the rim. Is he not?
He baptized Brendan Clark.
He baptized Luka yesterday on May 22nd of the year of our Lord 2022.
And listen, he's had three games this postseason. Remember the regular season? Oh, man, Wiggins should grab more rebounds. He's not crashing the boards. Well, in this postseason, Shasky,
yeah,
he's crashed the boards. He's had three games of double-digit rebounds, two games with 11,
wow,
one game with 10.
Wow.
He's had a couple games with 9. He's had a couple games with 8 rebounds. All right, the lone one, when they got blown out by 39, he had one rebound. Everybody had an off night that day. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw that out the window. Wiggins has crashed the glass. He's picked up the assignments, whether it's Tyus Jones picking him up 94 feet or Luka Doncic, where he's just pressuring him all day long. And Luka, even though he had 40 points last night, that was a very quiet 40. Wasn't a loud 40.
Well, he went to the free throw line, like, I think it was close to 20 times.
17 times last night.
I mean, come on. Can we talk data for just a moment? Because I know you want to play some sound. The data thing, it really drives me crazy. I've played sports my whole life.
Right.
I've watched sports my whole life.
Yeah.
This thing that an at-bat, like, for example, in baseball, in the middle of April is equivalent to an at-bat in October against Kenley Jansen.
It's not even close.
It's just not. And I see, like, all these different data people in the NBA, because data has now taken over the NBA.
Right.
Right? Whether it's 538, whether it's Zach Lowe, whether whoever. And I'm not trying to identify specific people. I think a lot of people are victim to the data thing, because a lot of people want to compute the game and make it quantifiable, because sometimes they cannot explain with their words and articulate what's happening on the court. I get it. It's a way for people to understand and digest what they're watching.
Plus minus. Plus minus is the worst stat.
Because it lacks
in the world.
No context.
No context.
Who am I
whatsoever.
Playing with?
Like, Looney,
who are we going against?
Looney was a plus 9 yesterday. A plus 5 yesterday. Clay's plus 13. Curry's plus. It just has no context. Plus minus is thrown out the window.
Exactly.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like in baseball. You brought up baseball. Oh, well. You know, Darren Ruff is batting 218, but he's tied in the league for most hard-hit balls.
Exit velocity.
It's an out. I don't give a damn how hard he's hitting
exactly.
the ball. He's recording outs.
The results matter.
Right.
Right? So, like, that's the one thing. Like, I'm watching all the breakdowns, and I read so much stuff from so many people about the Dallas Mavericks, and they're talking about, well, Maxi Kleber did, you know, in the last two series, and look at what Bertans has done throughout the regular season. This is the championship run. This is the Western Conference Finals. There's a reason guys like Steph and Kobe and Shaq and Jordan, there's a reason they elevate their game when the lights become the brightest and the pressure becomes the heaviest. It's just different.
Yeah.
There's a reason that we talk about Big Shot Bob and John Paxson and Steve Kerr, the head coach, because very few guys want the ball in the fourth quarter down the stretch with an opportunity to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
It lemon booty, as Bonte Hill has called it, looms large for a lot of people. And so all of this data and all this crap from the regular season meant
nothing
in this series.
Nothing. Nothing at all. The three, and think about this. All three teams they faced so far in the playoffs, the Denver Nuggets, the Warriors lost 3 or 4 in the regular season. Did not matter. Throw it out the window. We told you to throw it out the window.
I mean, Draymond didn't even play in 3 of those games.
Yeah, and they won the last one, which was kind of like a playoff field to it in Denver.
Okay.
Just to send them a message saying, hey, if you play us, you're getting smoked.
Yeah.
And they smoked the Nuggets in 5. So everybody's smoking on that Nuggets pack, right? The Grizzlies. Oh, the Grizzlies. And I told you I wanted the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you did.
Wanted to humble them so bad. They're talking dynasty. They're dancing. And when they played the Warriors in that last game, and the Grizzlies won 3 or 4 against the Warriors. They were dancing. D'Anthony Melton put his avatar dunking on Bielitsa. Oh, they were having a good time. Warriors didn't have Steph. Oh, man, doom and gloom. If they run into the Grizzlies, oh, man. You want to avoid the Grizzlies? Oh, no, you're in the same bracket as the Grizzlies. They beat them in 6, all right? And I don't want to hear about Ja because the narrative, the goalposts always change when
always.
It comes to the Golden State Warriors. Oh, well, you know, without Ja, the Grizzlies are better without Ja Morant.
Well, you know what it's going to be this time?
What?
Well, if the Warriors don't win at all, they've choked.
Oh, yeah.
You watch the pivot. Watch the pivot over the next 40 hours. But I don't want to get there.
No, we're not going
to
get there.
I don't want to
get there. But with the Grizzlies, it was when Ja got hurt. Well, you know what? The data tells you that they're better without Ja Morant. They're 20-5. Mark Willard, I love you. But the Grizzlies are better without Ja Morant.
Better without
Ja Morant. Now it's everybody's tweeting. Boy, if the Grizzlies had Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks, they would have outlasted the Warriors. Think about what people are saying. If we had Dylan Brooks.
It's the mental gymnastics to try to make their point correct.
And now the Mavericks, who were playing some very good
they
defense.
They were.
Very good defense.
They ran into a buzzsaw.
But this is championship DNA.
Exactly.
And here's the thing about the championship DNA. The Warriors are saying, okay, you're taking away our three-pointed tips.
28 in game two, mm-hmm. 29 in game one, well below their average.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson combined for 8 3-point attempts in the first two games. Give the Dallas Mavericks credit for trying to run the Splash Brothers mm-hmm. off the three-point line. But the Warriors said, screw you analytic geeks. We're just going to get buckets. And we're going to go to the paint at will and get layups to set our defense up. And we'll live and die with you guys jacking up threes all over the place. And when you talk about getting tight in the postseason, what happened in game two of that second half? What happened? The Mavericks got tight from the three-point
Absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely.
And since halftime of that game,
yes.
Shasky, the Mavericks are 19-63 from the three-point line. That is 30%. 30%.
Wow.
Bullock didn't want to take the shot in the second half of game two. Finney Smith, I'm good. Here you go, Luka.
Nope.
Give it to Brunson.
Maxi Kleber yesterday.
Hesitating. And Reggie called it out.
Hesitating? He was like throwing up all over the ball.
Dude, so... To your point.
He passed up so many shots. Where's the data on that?
Yeah.
Where's the data on throwing up on yourself?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to hear any more about the regular season, especially when it comes to championship teams. When you have a team that's won three championships
with
their nucleus.
Exactly.
The regular season, the Warriors told us all season long.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hey, Mark Reed, exactly. We don't give a damn about the seed. We're going to win a championship.
100%.
Steph Curry, it's about being healthy and just making sure we're playing good basketball. Steve Kerr, it doesn't matter about seeds. We don't care about home court. If we get home court, great. But we will win on your home floor like they've done in 27 straight playoff series, which is an NBA record.
It's incredible.
Think about that. 26 straight series date back to when Steph, Clay, and Draymond first tasted the playoffs against the Nuggets back in 2013. They've won a road game in every single series.
That's the most remarkable stat of the entire, of all the stats during this Warrior run.
Take that for data.
That's the one that I hold. Well, like even Kevon Looney. Like, we have watched Kevon Looney all year.
Yep.
How do I quantify the data inside his heart?
I know.
Because are you watching this guy's effort?
I know.
Are you watching the way he's boxing out and second, third, fourth efforts? Are you watching the discernment on passing? How about all the passing underneath the hoop between him and Wiggins and Clay? How about Clay getting ran off the three-point line, dribbling in, pump faking, and hitting high degree of difficulty fadeaways? High degree. How about that little two-man game between Draymond Green and Steph Curry?
Steph Curry
takes two hard dribbles, takes that little elbow shot, and then turns around and is like, that's all day.
That's all day.
And Dallas doesn't want that shot. Steph Curry's automatic from that shot.
I thought Dallas would take in this series.
They're scared.
They're scared. The moment's too bright for them. And did you hear them after the game? They basically conceded the series.
Oh, it's a wrap.
It's done. That's what's done. We're not coming back to Cali for a
game. It's a magic carpet ride.
We're coming back to Cali to get ready for the NBA Finals. All right? Warriors are one game away. Garrett and Antonio will get you on the other side. We're fired up here. Game two and game three. We left the studio Monday morning. It was 1-0.
Hey.
And we all said game two would be the hardest game here. It would be the hardest game. Well, they win game two. They come back from 19 down, and they steal that game to win by 9 and cover the spread, and they take care of business last night.
I contend that game, I've not been as many as you. It's the greatest basketball game I've ever been to. And I want to talk about that on the other side.
Right.
Friday night was the best basketball game I've ever been to.
All right. That'll be coming up. Brought to you by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com.
This is Klay Thompson, and you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me.
Nah, Clay. You're going back to the Western Conference Finals. You don't get roasted on this show, baby. Not on this show. We appreciate you.
You know, you have been to finals games, Western Conference Finals games, semis. You've been to so many playoff games. I mean, what do you think? 40 playoff games?
Not six, not seven.
So basically I've been to a lot. Since 2013, I've been to a lot.
Okay, so
I can count how many times I missed. That may be easier. And I've probably missed maybe 5 to 6 home games during the entire run since 2013.
Wow. Yeah. Tim Roy. The point where I'm going with this is I had never been to a Western Conference finals game, nor have I ever been to a finals game. All right? when we were doing shows after the games and whatnot, I would do them here from the studio. Right. I didn't have access to the arena back then. And so maybe unlike some of my other media brethren, I have not been blessed to be in the building for all these great moments. I'm like one of the fans. I could barely afford to go to a lot of these runs. So my wife and I went to the game Friday night. I think that Friday night, for me, again, I haven't been to all the games that you've been to. It's for me, the greatest basketball game in terms of like how big that game was for the team, what they did in that game. It was one of the best basketball games I've ever been to.
Chase Center, how was it? Was it deafening?
First off, the Chase Center section was absolutely lit. Roasters all around me, to the left, to the right. Just so nice.
Thrive
all the
City.
Roasters.
How about Thrive City before the game?
Thrive City is the sickest thing that this city has ever built. And what I mean by that is the truth. Because Willie Mays Plaza, when you come out of a game, it's pretty dope.
Right.
Coming out of a Oracle after a win, it's driving me insane.
You know what? The Warriors haven't fallen victim to that.
No, it's not just that. I will attack the rim, jump in the air, try to contort my body so I can throw it back out to the three-point line, and everybody's closing out on this.
Yeah.
If I looked at turnover ratio and I just looked at how many times those passes are intercepted, it's through the roof.
Yep, no doubt.
The amount of turnovers off this dribble to no man's land, and instead of just going up with it, I'm going to leave my feet, which is a cardinal rule you don't do, and then try to throw it back across it drives me nuts.
No, it does drive me nuts. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. A lot of people coming in on the Xfinity mobile text line. 510, do a wellness check to the Dallas radio host. I thought about sending a tweet out yesterday. Maybe I'll do it after the show, maybe Tuesday. Here's our Venmos. Here's our Cash Apps. Send the bread. And here's our address for the T-Bone Steak.
Cash me out one time!
Because how does it feel to have the best player on the floor being down 0-3? Can't feel good.
Well,
instead
of a sweep, I feel like this should be a Swifter. Like they should send us a Swifter. These things are expensive.
Yep.
Could use some of the juice or whatever it is, the liquid, and then I need some pads.
These guys, absolute clouds. I can't wait to rub it in there. Matter of fact, we'll do another simulcast and just let them riff and make all the excuses in the world. Let them make all the excuses in the world, say this and rip Draymond and blame the officials. Do whatever you want. But you're going home Tuesday night. Let's go to the Lions, man. We talked for 55 minutes.
If you went to the game Friday night, explain to people, Thrive City, I can't even describe
it. Thrive City is.
They nailed Thrive City. It is one of the coolest things that they could have built. The organic flow onto that plaza and the vibe and the energy. Dude, it was so sick.
There were so many roasters out there. There were so many roasters out there, starting with our main man, Tyler Miller. Tyler Miller with the pool party.
He's wearing a bucket hat.
The bucket
Friday
hat.
Friday night.
Bucket hat with the pool party shirt from Warriors World. I saw Tsunami out
massive
there.
Choppers.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't play. Even Mully went up to go recognize Tyler Miller. He's like, oh, you a roaster? What up, big dog? Like, the roasters get mad respect out there.
Yeah, they do.
They're VIP.
Yeah.
They're VIP, and there were so many people, so many roasters. Tsunami was out there. My boy Ray Almeida was out there.
Nice.
My boy Miles, who's going to Oregon, was out there chilling. There were so many morning roasters out there Friday night. It was a party, and I can't wait to see them again.
And you busted out the Gucci's.
Yeah, I did bust out the Gucci's.
You were looking good. Button all the way up. Michelle was like, I'm so impressed with how he's been dressing. I said, Anna's been dressing him. She said, I can tell.
Let's go to Karen in San Jose. Karen in San Jose. I'm not going to comment on that. Somebody just said, I don't need Venmo because I brought up the Gucci Aces. Hey, man, I can always use a pity, dog. Can always use a pity here on the roast. Karen, what's happening?
Monte, I know you guys said you're not popping champagne. I'm sitting here drinking mimosas this morning. Have you guys heard Luka Doncic's press conference yesterday? He's talking about, oh, I'm 23, I'm still learning. You know, after this season, I'll reflect where I'm at. He's done. Mavericks are done. Call those clowns RJ and Sean and talk that head, man.
I mean, it's look at 146-0. That's what the record is all time in the NBA for the team that goes up 3-0.
So you're saying the Mavericks don't have a shot?
They have zero shot.
They got zero shot.
It's zero. Incredible.
Let's go talk to Linda on 680. Linda, good morning. How are you feeling after those two wins over the weekend?
Oh, you know, I didn't talk to you guys since Thursday morning, and I've been thinking about it all weekend. Holy cow. Miss G and I both came on, and we talked about Kevon Looney on Thursday morning,
and I couldn't be
more impressed with what he was able to do in these last two games again, continuously. Oh, man, I hope he's up for a contract extension or some money, because he has earned it.
Agreed.
The other thing I wanted to get you guys' take is, last night when Otto Porter got hurt, the television broadcast didn't zoom in on it or anything, but if you guys get a chance, go back and check the film. It looks like he steps on somebody's foot coming down from that shot and then turns around and goes with the limp and the grimace. Great show, you guys. Yeah. Love it. And I'll see you probably Wednesday morning.
Oh, I can't wait.
Thank you, Linda.
You know, they need Otto Porter Jr. for the finals,
no
right?
doubt.
And so if they can get this thing done, okay, you obviously risk exposure the longer that this series goes in terms of other guys getting hurt. But more importantly, they need to get him back and ready to go because he's an integral part of what they do.
He is.
Otto Porter Jr. was awesome in the game Friday night.
Game two, 11.7 rebounds off the bench.
That three that he hit.
Oh, to give him that first lead to start the first quarter.
Place
fourth
went
quarter.
Crazy.
Place went nuts because Ludi finishes the third quarter with the dunk. Poole's getting in his bag. It was a great pass by Andrew Wiggins to Looney to have the wherewithal to say, okay, I got enough time on the clock. Let me give it to Loon. Looney ducks. And I'm like, Looney, get rid of the ball.
That's what I said, too. Please. And then they started to review it. I'm like, please tell me he got rid of it before it turned red.
And you hold the Mavericks at 13 points in that third quarter. And look, Draymond Green was not good in that game. He'll admit it. I'm sure he'll watch the film and say, man, I struggled. Foul trouble, not good decision-making, three turnovers in the first quarter.
Well, Dre was
and
bad.
You know what? Him getting that fifth foul, it was like, you know what? This ain't the game for Dre. This is an offensive shootout. You got to beat these guys. You got to score 120, 126 to win this basketball game. Draymond picks up his fifth foul in that third quarter, midway through, and the Warriors go on a crazy run. When Otto Porter hit the three, it became 22-6. That was the run.
Wow.
And so they just started rolling. And Jordan Poole, he didn't have the best game yesterday. But game two, man, he was in his bag, Shasky, in that game, in that second half.
If I hear another person, well, the Dallas Mavericks are getting looks, they're just not hitting. Are you watching? They're contesting everything.
Yep.
The Warriors' defense is contesting everything. You bring up Dre, and I agree with you on this one, B. Game two was bad. It was bad from Draymond Green. They were better with him on the bench in that particular game.
Yep.
I felt the same way for large parts of yesterday's game. Then in the fourth quarter, he cranked it up, and he stayed focused, and he was much better. No, he was.
He did. No, No, because you're right. He had a blocked shot. He got
he
down on the floor, started snatching 50-50 balls out of dudes' heads. He was unbelievable. And then he hit the top of the key, jumper wide open, looking at people.
I feel like the other guys, though, kind of lifted him in the sense of, like, Kevon Looney picked up where Draymond Green would have normally impacted them in that game Friday night. That's the best game. I can't believe that's the best game scoring-wise he's had since his freshman year at UCLA.
No doubt.
That's incredible.
No doubt. And look, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AZ1 San Francisco at Odyssey Station. Download the Odyssey app and favor 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date Warriors coverage. Kevin Harlan will join us at 8:30.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.